Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
What is that thing in the sky I see at the start of this podcast? Is that the sun? I haven't seen that at the start of an episode of Crusader Talk in, well, about 6 months, it feels like.
Oh, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. It's golf season. It's here.
I'm ready to go, man.
We got to get Coach Mixon on.
Ooh. Yeah, got to get Coach Mixon on. Got to get ready for some fun evening baseball where it's not 50 degrees when you start a game at night.
You got to have that happy medium where it's just the right amount of breeze, but it's not too humid and the mosquitoes aren't out yet.
Well, I'm looking forward.
Today.
Yeah.
That was today.
It was awesome. It's been a beautiful day today.
It was awesome.
Yeah, now the baseball games at night can start at a proper time when everybody's off of work and not 4 o'clock. Well, we're getting closer to that anyway. But hey, everybody, welcome to Crusader Talk. My name's Caleb Hamill, joined by Josh West as always. Dalton Stanford behind the board, helping make all of us sound good on this here podcast. We're going to talk everything William Carey Athletics today because it is a full slate, as it always is, but it's even fuller today. And we're going to end up doing this on 1.25x speed just to get it all in because breaking news, it is postseason time in the world of NAIA basketball, and you have not just one William Carey team in the postseason. You've got two.
And of all the things that I prepped for, I did not go back and pull when the last time both were in at the same time. When was the last time that both were in at the same time?
I mean, women prior to last year had not been in I want to say, a decade. So I really don't know there, Josh.
So you're looking at at least 10 years.
It has been a while.
I mean, look, I got on.
It's ever happened.
You ever go down one of those research rabbit holes, so to speak, and you just get to digging through things, and then you start, wait a minute, I wonder if that's updated. Hey, I wonder if this or that. And so, man, I started pulling together Colton Blakeney career points numbers. By the way, she's 55 points away from 1,000. You know, just little things like that. Lauren Rowley being a 1,000-point scorer. Just little tidbits. Just started digging through some stuff, getting ready for the postseason basketball this weekend, but that was fun. But now hopefully we'll dig up a couple of more nuggets and there'll be an opportunity there. Also found out that the men play, I thought the men played Friday at 1. The men play Friday at 3. So the women play at 5. So I've got to be at the arena, set up, everything done so that I'm watching the game courtside or wherever the broadcast point of view will be by 3 o'clock so that I can fully take in the men's game as well.
So just for anybody out there that hasn't been keeping track, William Carey women are going to be a 3 seed overall in the tournament. Out of the different quadrants, they are the 3 seed in their bracket. They are the best seeded team in their opening round, which will be held at Xavier, Louisiana, in New Orleans at the Convocation Center, a venue that housed the Crusaders a couple years back. It was the start of the 2020-21 season that William Carey went down there and played. They may have played since then, but that was my first broadcast, which is why it rings in my head. But I was courtside for that one. So,
were you at the new Convocation Center?
I mean, if it was the same one that was there in 2020, then yes.
Was it palatial, nice, new, pretty?
It was fairly nice, yeah.
Did it remind you a lot of Mississippi Valley's facility?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The same one.
So, good venue, good crowd came for that game, too. Even though it was COVID and all the masks and all that were going on, a little hard to find a parking spot when I got there that time. But all in all, good environment. Not a great result for the ladies when they played Xavier that year, but still a good place to play basketball. And hey, for any Crusader fans that are out there, to get the next best thing to hosting an opening round to play just down the road in New Orleans, that is extremely drivable, extremely accessible for Crusader fans to go down there and support the ladies. I know the guys are supportable too. They're out in Oklahoma though. So if you can't fly out there or can't make the long trip over there into the Midwest, absolutely go down to the Crescent City.
Well, yeah. So I spoke to a lot to get to there. First off, New Orleans for women's basketball. To be in a city that knows how to throw a postseason event, right? Whether it's a Sugar Bowl, whether it's a Super Bowl, so many big games that are played in that city. They love their sports. They love the NBA. They love their college teams. And so, obviously, they support a lot of college teams, right? From Xavier to Loyola to Tulane to UNO. The Pels are going to be there. Going to catch a Pels game, hopefully, while we're down there on Thursday night against the Magic. And so I'm excited that there's going to be opportunities to create some more memories for that team, right? To go to New Orleans, to go catch a dinner, to go maybe have a fun team building activity like they need that. But just go bowling, go catch a movie, go do something fun. Those opportunities are going to be there, much more so than if you're maybe in a city you're maybe a little overly familiar with, like a Mobile. Say if a Mobile was hosting or something like that, somebody that's just very, very close and right in Kerry's backyard. But for the men, Coach Knight's wife's family from Oklahoma. So they're going to drive up. They're going to make kind of a week of it, so to speak. And there's going to be a lot of Crusader fans from Coach Knight's family that are going to be there in Oklahoma to watch them in play. So that's a pretty neat story.
That's awesome. By the way, in the midst of you talking about that, I was able to look up the question that you had early on about what's going on with both teams playing in the postseason at the same time. It has never happened for William Carey.
Never.
Both basketball teams have never both been in the postseason at the same time.
So, to talk about just the history of the last few years, how historic they have felt and looked, And just every week it's another storyline and another big moment, and there's something to poke your chest out about as a Crusader fan. And then the numbers and the history bear that out as well. It's not so many times I think, and I know I have to catch myself, that's the best game I've ever seen. Oh, that was the best fourth quarter comeback. Oh, that was the best. Well, because it was the most recent, right? my mic just gave up. But because it's the most recent. But there are things this year that are literally the best ever.
Yes.
It's never been better than this, but that doesn't mean it can't get better. There is still more room. There is still more chapters to be written. They can still raise the roof, if you will, on what they're trying to achieve, because prior to this season, I felt like this could be a Sweet 16 team. And if you get into that number, if you get to the final site, then there's a lot of teams that on any given day can beat anybody when you get there. You just want to be playing your best when you get there. I think the long rest certainly doesn't hurt Kerry coming into this tournament, because Kerry did not play exceptionally great against Mobile, but well enough. They didn't play exceptionally great against Loyola, but had a really good spurt in that game. Played very okay in the first half against Blue Mountain, and then Blue Mountain played really, really well the entire week at the Southern States Athletic Conference tournament and won the whole tournament and got a 14 from the league in. So I think it's good for the ladies, and I think for the men who were banged up. You've got a lot of guys who thought they had played their last game, and I can't imagine what that feeling is like, hoping and almost feeling like you're hoping against hope that your name's going to get called. And I would have to think that the Kerry men were like one of the last, had to have been one of the last four teams in, right?
I would assume so.
And so, and it could have been one of the last one or two teams in, but they had some big wins. They had some huge RPI wins. I think that double OT win against Life was huge.
It was.
The two wins against Faulkner were massive. Win against Talladega, win against Tougaloo. I mean, there were some big wins. And so proving that when you have the type of schedule that Kerry plays, 19 wins is good enough. And one of their goals every year is to win 20. So I said, Coach, you get another chance to win 20. And he laughed. He said, yeah, we do. And we'll hear that. We'll be able to talk to him about that here coming up later in this program. But that's their goal every year. And for Coach to have a chance to do that now for the 22nd time in his career, simply amazing.
Yeah, it'll be the 14th appearance for William Carey's men's team in the NAIA tournament. Also, how about the SSAC getting six teams in the postseason?
Okay, and I asked Coach about that. I said, Coach, I know I'm new. I said, I know this is kind of my first big tour through the league, so to speak. But, I mean, this is fairly – is this kind of unprecedented? I mean, is this one of the better leagues that's ever been? And he goes, from a depth standpoint, yes. He said, I think from a depth standpoint, absolutely, because you had Tennessee Southern, Thomas, and Loyola, three more teams that did not get in that could beat you on any given day. Mm-hmm. So that was, and again, RPI, this was an eight, depending on the week, eight or nine teams in the top 100 in that RPI. So it was a great year, and it's not over. And I wish I could be in two places at once. I'm so excited about going to New Orleans. But a part of my heart is also going to be in Oklahoma, as it's going to be with every Cary fan that's in New Orleans. We can't be in two places at once, but boy, we're almost there, Caleb. I mean, we're getting close, postseason basketball.
Yes, we are, as William Carey's men's and women's teams will be playing in the postseason. Coming up next, we're going to have Coach Knight on the phone. Also going to visit with Robert Gonzalez of swimming later on in the show. A lot to come here on Crusader Talk. Also recap the week of baseball and softball action. Don't go anywhere, as this episode of Crusader Talk continues next.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome back, everyone, to Crusader Talk as we continue the conversation. Starting off the show with a little bit of basketball news, because we said at the top of the show, William Carey's men's and women's basketball teams have both made the NAIA tournament. The first time they've done it at the same time, same year. And that has caused us to have to make a decision about which one we're covering. Coach Knight, I am so sorry. Blame it on inflation and gas prices for why we can't drive all the way out to Oklahoma. But, man, we are excited about y'all making the tournament field. And did it come as a surprise to you or any of the guys on the team when you saw William Carey's name pop up on the board?
Well, I told the guys after our defeat versus Life afterwards, you know, a lot of them were sitting in the little changing room there and really sad. And I said, guys, I don't think it's over. I said, I've talked to people. I know, you know, what our RPI and strength of schedule is. And unless it changes a whole lot next week when the final RPIs come out, I think you're in pretty comfortably. And I was able to I talked to a guy who was on the selection committee after everything was said and done, and he said, you guys were never in doubt.
Oh, that's good.
Well, you could have told me that a month ago or 3 weeks ago, you know. He said, no, with the strength of schedule that we had and as good as our league was, you know, we ended up 24 in the country in strength of schedule, and that really helped. And playing the tough teams game in and game out that we had on the men's side, it was just something that, you know, we knew we would have five, and then Middle Georgia came on really strong there at the end. That gave us a sixth.
That's incredible. You know, Coach, just looking back at the SSAC tournament, that's kind of been an Achilles heel for Carey as a university lately. But when you look back at it, the fact that y'all played Life so close ahead of them going through and winning the whole thing, it was just kind of a luck of the draw type moment, it feels like. But in looking at how your team performed against a team like the Running Eagles, it feels like that's just one half step away from, you know, being a win, and then also using that same type of mentality and momentum to carry you through in the postseason could prove to be, yeah, a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, tournament play is always tough, and there's always upsets. And we won the tournament and finished first in the regular season twice between 2010 and 2019. So we kind of know both ends of it, and we know what it takes. At least the coaching staff does. The players, you know, they, some of them in 2010, they weren't worried about SAC conference basketball title. You know, they were probably 8-9 years old, but you know, it's just tough to do. It's just so hard to do. You know, take for example this year, the team that probably was playing the best and had a great year won it last year. You've got Loyola, who was, I think, the seventh seed and won 4 straight games and won it. So it's just, you know, you got to have a little bit of luck. You got to have some breaks go your way, but it's just really, really difficult. So I think that's one of the main reasons the coaches feel like one of the automatic bids should go to the regular season champion, because over the course of the season, whoever finishes first there kind of has shown what they could do over a course of time.
Coach Knight, it's Josh over here, and you know, we talked earlier today, and just so excited for you guys. And yeah, this is a team that was banged up a little bit at the end of the season. We talked about that, whether it be pre-games, post-games, about the health of the team and, you know, needing to get some guys some rest. And there was a little breaks here and there throughout the season. But I can't imagine, with the rest coupled with what's got to feel like a second chance for some of these guys on this team to get to do what they love again and put on that Cary uniform again. It's got to be extremely special. And you talked earlier today about how the guys have responded even in practice.
Yeah, they're excited about it. You know, tournament play is a lot about matchups and who you're going against. And we feel good about our first round opponent. I think we match up really well with them. They're very guard-oriented, just like we are, and a little bit on the small side. So, you know, we'll tip it off and go play. But the guys are excited. I think, you know, Dylan looked okay today. As long as he doesn't tweak his ankle again, he'll be improved over where he was for the last 2-3 weeks. And I think some of the other ones have used this time to rest up. And, you know, it's hard to practice this time of year. You know, it's really hard to get them to give 100% effort in practice, unless you've got something that you're trying to go and win, like a tournament. And so anytime you make a tournament field or even going into the postseason and in the conference tournament, guys, you know, they'll go out and work hard in practice. You know, I learned a long time ago, learned from a veteran coach, that, you know, once you get into February, the hay's already in the barn, he said. He said, you're not going to do a whole lot in practice that's going to make or break you, and what you need to do is keep your team fresh. And that's what we started doing, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. We cut our practices down lengthwise and just try to make them short, snappy practices and getting a lot of good out of it. So, you know, I think we're there right now, and I think it'll even improve. Tomorrow's will be better, and then I think our practice Wednesday and then again Thursday, we'll have them ready to play on Friday.
Coach, when you mentioned some of the matchups in this tournament and the draw, talk about specifically this opponent, some of the things you've seen on film, because I know fans, I mean, we're going to kind of promote this as kind of a, you know, tournament preview type edition. What can fans expect from the matchups of more, I guess, more a little deeper into the X's and O's of this matchup, so to speak, for the game on Friday afternoon?
Yeah, they play a style similar to ours and try to get up and down the floor, and very skilled guards, hard to turn them over. You know, they've got some size on their roster, but they typically will play smaller. Inside guys being, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and then the other three guards out there, they're just good basketball players. And they play well together. You know, Central Baptist has a good history. I think they made it to the Sweet 16 last year. So they've got that kind of working in favor. But, you know, it's just an opportunity for us. I think that our conference is much stronger than their conference. Their record's better than ours. They're 26-5, but I think had we played the same schedule that they had played, then our record could be the same. So I think we're just very evenly matched. You know, you're probably going to see a pretty close game.
Coach, we just got about a minute and a half left here, and I wanted to give you a chance to comment on this and take us out of men's basketball for just a second. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Coach English, a guy that had been on your team before, had been on your staff as an assistant coach for a while, embarking upon this undefeated season, the regular season prior to the conference tournament, and has taken his girls back to the NAIA national tournament. What's it like for you to see him succeed in this role, about to become just full-time athletics director?
Yeah, not only did he play for me, but he was by my side up until a couple of years ago as an assistant coach. And, you know, not really doing anything in practice, but I like having him there on the bench because he and I work so well together and have experience together. So just really happy for him. He's done a great job. It brought in players, he and Jessica, that kind of fit the system that he likes to run. And, you know, we've had a pretty good year, but we've been overshadowed a little bit by the girls, which is okay. Their season has been so good. Anytime you go into the conference play and you're undefeated, my goodness, and for it to happen in his last year as a coach, not too many coaches get to enjoy that. The fact that they're retiring and their team goes undefeated in the regular season. and then get a nice seat in postseason play, and you know, I'm pulling for them. We've got a good relationship, of course, and they pull for us and we pull for them. And you know, I know how it is to go down and play at Xavier. It can be a tough place, and I know he'll have his team ready.
I think he absolutely will. Coach, thanks so much for joining us to preview some of this NAIA National Tournament, and congrats again on making the tournament field. We'll be pulling for you wherever we may be, for Josh down in New Orleans and me wherever I may be. All over the state of Mississippi, it seems like I am these days. But thanks again.
Well, I heard you do a little Mississippi State baseball the other day.
Yeah, it was a little fun.
I know you were excited about that.
It was fun to get to call a little game for my alma mater, and I appreciate Josh filling in for me back home here in Hattiesburg.
Right.
But well, thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks,
absolutely,
Coach.
That is Coach Steve Knight, head coach of William Carey Men's Basketball. When we come back, a recap of the week of baseball and softball and a whole lot more. Stay tuned to Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Good conversation with Coach Knight. Always appreciate him hopping on, whether it's pre-planned or a moment's notice. He's always been open to us and willing to come in. He did this show for so many years as just his show. It was the Coach Steve Knight Show for so many years before it became a regular thing of Crusader Talk on Monday nights. But he's a pro. Love him.
And whether it's, you know, a couple hours before game and you're sitting up in his office after you've already done the pregame interview, or just like tonight, or whether you call him up and he's able to answer like today on a Monday afternoon and you're just sending your best wishes, it's just always the same humble, awesome. So much wisdom there, too. Great conversation. I can listen to them wax on about stories and hearing him and Bert and PJ talk about different stories. I could listen to that for hours.
Oh, yeah. He's a walking encyclopedia of knowledge of the game and also the history of his games coaching at William Carey. Like I can recall the same thing, being in his office just talking about a scenario of a basketball game that we saw, and whether it be one that Carey played in or not. And he would all of a sudden bring up, you know, that happened to us when we were playing Auburn Montgomery back in 1989. It was at so-and-so, and this guy you know, went for a layup, got fouled, and made the free throws to win.
But he told you his name and you know, where he'd come from before and what he went on to do and how many years he's been coaching at his stop now. And, he's made so many great friends. And, I mean, it's not lost on you and I getting to work with a Hall of Famer as much as we have. And, it's special.
All right, so we got a little bit of a word from him about scouting report on Central Baptist. And I know you're getting prepped for William Carey taking on Lindsey Wilson College. I don't know if you've got notes ready. We'll dive into that real quick and then transition to baseball, softball. Lindsey Wilson, a team that will not absolutely blow you away with their record. They only had 3 wins in their conference. But when you take a step back and look at a 10,000-foot view of what the Mid-South Conference is, 4 teams in the top 25 consistently throughout the year, and played Freed Hardeman, who was the number 7 team in the most recent poll in their conference tournament, only lost to them by 2.
Yeah, number 3 in strength of schedule. So you heard Coach Knight talk about the men 24 in strength of schedule. Lindsey Wilson, number 3 in strength of schedule. But I thought it was interesting. I guess one of the stats that jumped out to me is that they were 10-13 in NAI games. And I haven't broken down their record as to how many Division II teams they played. I don't know if they played some Christian collegiate athletic teams. But 10-13 against NAIA opponents. So I want to dig a little bit deeper on that as well. But I think it's a really, really good draw, though, for William Carey. I think... all in all, William Carey, it feels, like you said at the very top, as good as you could have without hosting. And it wasn't like Carey gets snubbed from a host. They knew they weren't hosting. That was something that was not on the radar this year from the get-go. You would have had to had a vetted facility. Clinton Gym would have already had to been vetted, would have already had to been an approved facility. Then you have to put in a bid, not as early as a facility has to get cleared, so to speak, through the NAIA. But so the clearing process wasn't even something that was on the radar this year for basketball. I think moving forward, it will 100% be something that will happen, whether it will be Clinton Gym or whether it will be a new facility that I would think that would be a part of, at the latest, part of the 5 to 10 year plan of William Carey Athletics to have a new basketball venue and to repurpose Clinton Gymnasium for other things, then absolutely. Hattiesburg is a great place to host a tournament because of all that Hattiesburg has to offer: hotels, restaurants, the zoo, the water park, just all the different things that Hattiesburg is adding and wanting to become, as we know, an athletic tourism destination. It only makes sense that whether it's going to be through the NAIA, whether it's going to be through the Southern States Athletic Conference, through sports like soccer, basketball, baseball, so forth, and we've already seen it on the baseball side, it's going to happen. But back to your question about Lindsey Wilson. To get Lindsey Wilson in the opening round and coming off much-needed rest and a chance to hit the reset button and to have a chance to not play the host team until that potentially second game, because Xavier, I'm working backwards through the bracket of preparation. So Xavier, then Lindsey Wilson, then just the way I started through Southeastern. Xavier intrigued me so much. That facility, their program, 24th appearance in the tournament, their coach having been there for 36 years, there were just a lot of intriguing things about them. And then to be able to play in that facility, to be able to play in that venue, that new of a facility, that large of a facility, it's going to have a big-time feel. And I think the Carey fans are going to travel tremendously well to it. So Carey will have the home field in the first game, and then Carey's going to bring a really, really good crowd to that second game. And there's no guarantee that that you win. And if you do win, there's no guarantee you play Xavier. But there's certainly are a lot of intriguing storylines.
Yeah, absolutely. And Southeastern, not a bad team either. They're receiving votes in the most recent coaches poll. We know what they are in baseball. They're a powerhouse each and every year. Women's basketball, not very different in that they are successful. Really good in the Sun Conference.
There's got to be some teams, though. There's got to be a team or two that feels a little slighted, perhaps, that Lindsey Wilson had a losing record in the NAIA and was number 12 in their arc. and got a bid, don't you think? Or am I overstating that?
A little bit. You know, their website, it's 16 and 13, so I don't know where the disparity is on what counted towards RPI and what didn't there.
For example, they could have been good, really good teams. Spring Hill did not count for Cary's RPI. That was a Division II win. Cary picked up a win over a Division II team. So it could have been some really good teams that they defeated, just not in AIA.
Yeah. Not sure there. And I'm kind of surprised that it's not a requirement that you have a winning record in those games in order to make the qualifications, because it is in things like football and I believe baseball too. Or maybe it's just so rare that you really don't have to ever worry about it. That's interesting, though. But yeah, the conference record was by far, I think it was 3-9 was what they finished in the MSC. But when you have teams like Campbellsville, Cumberland's, Bethel, Freed-Hardeman, it is murderer's row in women's basketball.
It's almost like the Southern States Athletic Conference on the men's side.
Just a little bit.
I'm kidding. No, that's even better. Yeah. No. That was tongue in cheek. No, it's even better. And so yeah, they're gonna be tested. Cary has certainly been tested over the last couple of weeks. So when you look at who they've played over the last couple of weeks heading into this game, Cary certainly knows that at the level they've got to compete at. And yeah, another tip of the cap to Blue Mountain too for getting their first ever tournament title. Getting that fourth team in from the league, it only makes the league better. And to have a rival, have another rival in our division, have another rival in state. And I've been saying this, it's a rivalry for Blue Mountain, Cary fans. We need to embrace that, lean into that, have some fun with that potentially. There's some things you can do with regional rivalries. That's another regional rival right in our backyard.
All right, let's transition to baseball before we run out of time this segment. Point University came into town this past week. A lot of runs scored.
So Point did what – they're not the first team to do it. They won't be the last team to do it. But they actually kind of set their rotation backwards. So they kind of – some would say they sandbagged their pitching towards the latter games. But they did have –
Same thing Abraham Baldwin did.
Right. They did have some of their better pitchers in terms of velo and measurables on the back half of the weekend. So there were more runs scored. It was that first game, 6.5 innings over 3 hours. It was not a thing of beauty. Cary won that game 21-9. It certainly was one that was long, never really had a rhythm, but Cary was able to have some guys start to play well. One of those players being Alexander really did some nice things. Was good to see that. Shira. Struggled.
Yeah,
struggled again. Got rattled a little bit a few innings into that game. But now, let me preface that with saying the half inning before he comes out, he had to go over and sit for about 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So a very long inning that he had to sit. One of the other storylines of the weekend in that first game was the collision of Eli Collins and Bridley Thomas. Eli Collins and Bridley Thomas were tracking down a ball, blooped out in a shallow left field, and Bridley was calling for it first. Eli called for it late. They hit chest to chest, then face to face. So, but it was more Bridley's kind of forehead above his right eye that hit more into the cheek and nose and face of Eli. Not a good combination. Mm-hmm. Multiple facial fractures for Eli. MRI tomorrow, so keep, if you're listening to this, it's like literally ongoing type thing if you're listening to this later tonight or tomorrow. But Eli's a tough kid. I was talking to Coach Ebers, and he said, look, if he gets a 2 or 3, 4 week diagnosis, he'll put a mask on, a shield on. He'll be right back out there. Bridley was actually – both were concussed. Bridley was in the booth, and Bridley was – in much better shape than Eli was. Eli looked like he had been in a bad car accident. It could have been so much worse. And I prayed before the game and prayed for, Lord, keep them safe from injury. And so I was like, Coach Ebers, I don't know what to think. He said, well, it could have been worse. And I said, absolutely, it could have been. We couldn't hear it from the booth. They could hear it in the first base dugout. So that just kind of gives you the context to that. But good to see that. Moving on through the weekend, I thought pitching was good all weekend.
I was going
to
say Matthew Davis had a good bounce back game for Cary after his outing last weekend against UT Southern. Comes back in and Pitches six innings, doesn't give up a run. He does walk four in addition to his six strikeouts, only gives up three hits, though. Altogether, a good performance. Luke Lissette able to finish it off with a three-inning save at the end and help Keary win their second game of that weekend. Just to put numbers to what you said earlier about Josh Alexander, 6-for-11 on the weekend. Pretty good.
And had one game with five RBI in one game, and has jumped up to second on the team now in RBI behind Ratliff. So, I mean, his numbers have really and hit a three-run bomb to right field, 113 exit velo.
That's a pretty fast swing.
That is moving.
If you can swing that fast, good things can happen. Even if you hit it at fielders, it makes them have to react. Outside of baseball, yeah, just to wrap it up, Keary wins that finale 7-2 to sweep Point University and keep on cruising here in SSAC play. We may look at the standings here in a little bit. Softball, decent to average week. Beach Volleyball had a really good week as well.
3-0 in conference play.
Yes, in the Sun Conference as they play Beach Volleyball. So good stuff for Coach Shirley and company. All right, so that is a little bit of a recap of baseball and a quick touch on softball. But when we come back, we're talking championships. Did you think we were going to be talking about championships in the middle of the start of postseason of basketball? Oh, well, we're talking about championships in the inaugural season of swimming at William Carey. Coach Gonzalez joins us next.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment of Crusader Talk here on this Monday. Glad to be with you. What is a great day. We started off with some sun. Hey, we've sprung forward. Now that you're starting to get your sleep schedule readjusted, hey, enjoy the outdoors as you get a little extra time after work or after you get done with class if you're a student. It's a great time to get out and enjoy the outdoors, just like the beach volleyball team, who swept the Sun Conference Players of the Week with Marcella Ermon and Lara Montero, both getting those honors in their defeats of Florida Memorial, Ave Maria, and St. Thomas.
Sophomore and a freshman.
Bright future ahead. Really bright future ahead. And speaking of bright futures, out of an inaugural season of William Carey swimming, already some high, high honors bestowed upon the Crusaders. Coach Robert Gonzalez, head coach of William Carey Swimming, joins us here on the phone. Coach, already an individual national champion on our hands.
Yeah, that wasn't something that I guess I had on the radar screen about a year ago today. You know, just a really phenomenal performance by Mate this weekend, and just overall by our group of guys and girls over the course of the past 6 months to be able to put it together. It wasn't a perfect road. It wasn't a linear, from A to point B, but it was a great season nonetheless, and we're excited for the future, but trying to enjoy the present for a little while.
You know, this is your first season, obviously, as a coach and first time to experience the NAIA Nationals. What was it like getting out there for the first time and getting your guys exposed to that, and then all of a sudden to see Mate perform the way he did, and when he gets to the finishing touch, all of a sudden you look at me like, I've just coached a national champion.
Well, you know, every single person is going to respond differently. You know, we had an entire team of freshmen. So the bottom line is that, you know, understanding that the mindset of each individual is going to be different, not having any upperclassmen to kind of lean on, to kind of understand what the road is going to be. Because, like I just said, it's not just a straightforward path. Some of them, respond a little bit differently than others. Mate is obviously, somebody who was able to rise to that moment, took advantage of it, and just got, just enough anxiousness, just enough preparation, just enough conditioning, put all those materials together. And I don't know what the secret sauce was for him, but it worked out well. And to be able to win not one but two national titles individually, I mean, it's just phenomenal. 500 freestyle, 200 backstroke, and set the meet record in the 200 backstrokes on a Saturday night to kind of, culminate the entire meet for us was just really spectacular to watch, really exciting, really fun, and hopefully something that recruits nationwide and worldwide see and, can understand that, we're not just here to be around, but we're developing athletes and we're putting them, and we're showcasing them at a high level.
Yeah, I was going to go kind of that way, Coach, with this. This is Josh. And, you know, for Mate, it's certainly, like you said, you got to put all the ingredients together on an individual standpoint. But I was thinking about the collective. How much of a energy boost is that to this entire team, everybody that's involved with this swimming program at William Carey, to know that this was part of a group that traveled together, shared meals together, trained together, encouraged one another throughout the grind of a season, and to be able to be so proud for their teammate, just the program and just the way the entire collective is growing.
Yeah, especially with a really small group of guys. You know, these guys, you know, like you said, you know, they're around each other all the time. Not only are they practicing together, they're also going to class together, they're eating meals together. You know, they're around each other more than anybody else in their lives, you know, when they're in the season. And so to be able to kind of start the meet off that way, because, you know, his 200 backstroke kind of capped it off, but his 500 freestyle was the first individual event. And we actually had two guys in the A final along with Braden Jacobs. That was the first individual event of the entire meet. And so that just, you know, at one point in time, and we could say that, you know, we had a national champion in every race that we had ever competed in, quite honestly, just because that was the very first event of the meet. And so it kind of, you know, creates that buy-in factor, you know, in case anybody wasn't bought in already, you know, just to kind of understand that, you know, you just got to trust the process, trust the training, and that we understand what it takes to be able to prepare for this. And, you know, if you were along for the ride and you were committed for that for the entire season, then you were going to have a great performance.
And what a performance already in just year one of the program. Coach Gonzalez, congratulations on not only coaching a two-time national champion individual, but also the Crusaders taking six of the NAIA National Championship. Look forward to visiting with you again down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
That is Coach Robert Gonzalez, head coach of William Carey Swimming. Before we wrap up, I want to give a special shout-out to a couple of our different administrators in both William Carey's University and athletics. Dr. Burnett and his wife Denise celebrating 38 years of over 38 years of togetherness, but 35 years of marriage today. And Ben Smith celebrating a birthday today as well. How about that for syncing up the days on the calendar between the two Bens?
Yeah, not bad way to start the week. We were mentioning just the excitement of everything going on, national championships, tournament seeds. It just goes from one sport to another, and you got a couple of teams that are sitting right at or near the top of softball and the baseball standings. Yeah, this is really, really getting fun. And golf going on right now at Canebrake, playing into tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. All right, baseball tomorrow in Livingston, Alabama to take on University of West Alabama. Got all kinds of different athletics action. Bruton Parker baseball trip on the road. Long winning streak against Bruton Parker right now. I'm trying to keep that going as well. Softball at Faulkner. And obviously, as we mentioned, basketball in the postseason starting this weekend. For all the latest updates and more, go to careyathletics.com for a complete listing of athletic events going on both this week and in the weeks to come. But for everybody that was on the podcast today, Coach Knight, Coach Gonzalez, my co-host Josh West, and Dalton Stanford, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.